One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Omax Cryo Freeze and HelloFresh. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it at the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. You're going to get video there every Tuesday. Patreon show, The Honeydew with y'all. You guys have some crazy stuff. We have heard a lot of crazy shit out there, and I never get enough of it. So if you or someone you know has a story you absolutely think needs to be heard, please email us at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook fan page, all that stuff. Thehoneydewpodcast.com is the website. That's where you get the merch again and again and again. Thank you, Night Pants Nation. And thank you, Night Shorts Nation. You guys are fucking killing it. I love it. Send the pics so I can promote them. You know what's up there. Hoodies, mugs, all that stuff. And Santa Monica Music Center. If you are looking for online musical lessons, this is the spot. Go to santamonicamusic.com. Use my code HONEYDEW. They will waive the registration fee, and you'll get one free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right? That's thehoneydewpodcast.com for everything Honeydew related. It's ryansickler.com for everything Ryan Sickler related. Now, that is all out of the way. You know what we do over here? We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. And today's guest is special for me. This is a great friend of mine, and we'll get into what else is going on with this episode. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, for the first time here on The Honeydew, Gary Adler, everybody. Welcome to The Honeydew, Gary.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
My guest. Oh, that's mine over there.
Let me straighten this out.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, please go ahead and plug anything. No, you know what? No. Let's do it a little differently this time. Gary and I are old friends. We go back to, God, 98, 9, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. Started in comedy together at a spot called The Boathouse, which unfortunately now is Bubba Gump.
Shrimp
on the fucking pier, but it was a once a month show, first Friday, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Something like that.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't get 20 minutes a set anywhere back then, and so many great comedians came through there, from Cat Williams, Chris Hardwick. There was a lot of people rolled through there.
Earthquake. Alonzo Bowden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Come up on
just,
that mic.
Just tons of
pull it toward you.
Tons of great comedians came down there, and yeah, that's when you and I just kind of really got to know each other really well.
And you were wise and stopped comedy, not because you weren't funny, but because it's for shit.
It wasn't It really wasn't.
And so it was the right move.
Well, it probably was for me at the time. You know what it is I don't have like an accent or speak weird or look strange.
Neither do I.
And you know, you kind of need that delivery, you know, like if you look at the great comics like Chris Rock and even Louis C.K. and whoever else is out there, the good ones seem to have like this weird affectation, and that you get it's like a hook. Mm-hmm. And I could write a craft a good joke, tell a good joke, but I just never had that hook, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I'd be better off as a writer. And that's what I just started doing, and writing and designing and stuff like that.
And I just had said to you, know, look, I got this new space and I really want to do something like old school 70s stuff. I sent you a few samples. And of course, you do what you do right away and see it in a different world. You start sending me all this shit back. So a lot of people ask, like, what the fuck's behind you? I have yet to say anything because I wanted to do this. So this logo, which, it is a little crooked. It's a little tilted, but you know what? It wouldn't be the motherfucking Honeydew Studio if it wasn't crooked.
Way crooked, first of all. And I was so convinced.
I was back here like, I don't know, Gary. I got to go get my, you're like, Ryan.
I was like, I got that shit, Ryan. I got that. One try. And by the way.
It goes with the sloping. It goes up with the sloping fucking.
I overestimated my abilities to execute on the design a lot. And I think you had to go over a few things. Like, I painted these stripes and boy, were they a mess. And then you had a guy come in and do a really nice job.
You found that guy.
Oh, so that's
see,
right.
You there found you go. Him.
And by the way, back there, you never get to see it, but there's Ryan's fucking a giant honeydew just off screen here. Yeah, point to it. That's it. Yeah, just like American Pie. He's just banging a giant fucking rotten honeydew.
But what is behind me is a collage of honeydew pictures that you put together. I sent you a bunch of shit.
From your Instagram
people.
Yeah, these
are stuff you people have sent or tagged or whatever. I don't know. Some of them might be yours. But my favorite one. So everybody wants to know why the new side, Ryan. Why you said? I'll tell you why. There was a thinking behind it. It wasn't just something I thought. And this is the truth. It's a new studio. I thought I'd try new things. I'll sit on a new side of the table. And also, I don't care about anything anymore. This virus hadn't given a fuck about it.
You, man.
I don't care. I don't care about anything anymore. The hair, none of it. I don't give a fuck. I care when this shit started. I don't give a fuck anymore. So I thought, new side, fucking new studio, do everything different, emphasize your weaknesses. Not that I have a good side, but this one ain't it, okay? So I purposely sat on this side with the gap on my teeth because I don't give a fuck anymore. I am celebrating all of my weaknesses and my insecurities because I don't give a shit anymore. But this picture right here.
Are you going to get to show that to people eventually?
We can maybe take a photo and put it on there for sure. Yeah, we can do that. But this one, one of you out there at a restaurant or a job or something got a POV shot of this dude here passing up this perfectly good honeydew for some cantaloupe.
That's some sleuthing right there.
I wanted to sit in front of that too because that is perfect. You just passed right on. So
yeah, I mean, this you came. You said, "Look, I'm kind of holed up with my ex and my stepson and my daughter.
Yeah, we're all quarantined."
And you said, "I need a masturbation castle. So please,
please,
if you don't mind, just help me make this thing."
Yeah, and this was the picture from Nebraska that you put the honeydew on. We have a.
That's right.
We'll take some photos and include it in this. The highlight and the low lights above the wall here.
Yeah, there's a bunch of cool shit y'all aren't seeing. So hit him up.
It's nice. It's really well done. So thank you, because this was a lot of fucking work. And then, you know, after we had to reset it up after the riots. But here we are.
I tell you. And I wish I would have jumped in my car and came down here. But I did call. You go, dude, the lights are on. It's probably over. And at that point, I was like, what am I going to do? I wish I could have done something.
So look, I can't thank you enough for all your help. All the fans it's been very positive. There's a couple people like, what a weird color pattern, but that's on me. I picked the colors. So
you did.
I threw in white so we could put some more accents of white
your logo
in here and everything.
That
this is Jeff
on.
Tice that designed this logo and the artwork. We got Ennie and Ash working here. Mm-hmm. Ethan, I think it's Wolferman. I hope I said that.
And
right.
I just mixed those two up, by the way.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You did? You called him Ennie?
I did.
That's their way to go, man.
Sorry, man.
Way to go. I have to take you to HR after this.
Oh, my God.
So now that that's all out of the way, people have been wondering. I've saved it for this episode. So there it is. That's who you are. That's what's going on. That's how this all came about. It was nice, though, because this is like, you know, when my daughter's older, this is my what I built during the depression. You know what I mean? This is my coronavirus. We had the riots. We had everything going on.
That's where Dad started the meatpacking plant right there. Man, I'm telling you. And for me, just so you know, it gave me something to do, like on the weekends. But there was a guy here, and, you know, it was all weird for a little bit, but then everybody kind of cleared out.
Yeah, once they couldn't afford here anymore, that was the when Lana was like, look, these guys are leaving. And I was like, well, I'm going to come in then. Yeah.
So yeah. Great. She seems really awesome. I saw her on that episode. Shit. And yeah, I wish it feels like I should know her, but I just don't, you know.
Well, we'll introduce you.
There you go.
So we also have, I want to help you. I want to show everybody what you got here. You have a comic book out right
That's
now,
right.
Right?
Yeah, and here's the little backstory.
Let's promote it, everything.
Yeah, this is where a good place I could tell you where to go to find the comic book and all that stuff. But first of all, it was you who came to me and said you were coming off a couple Comedy Central shows that were good. I thought were great, actually. And you said, hey, man, I want to go back out with some stuff. What do you have? I know you used to pitch things. So I think I sent you like 6 or 7 things.
A lot of good stuff.
And you said, hey, what about this thing? And I said, yeah.
That was the Dark Horse.
That was the last one I did. No one's ever seen it. You know, I just got kind of tired of the industry and kind of tired of pitching. I used to pitch animated shows. You know, that was my deal.
Yeah. I just get anxiety thinking about pitching it. Yeah.
But you and I, we put a deck together. We went out and pitched and we got a little traction with it. Seems like some people really dug the concept. But then we got into that old rut of, you know, hey, go back and do notes. And blah blah blah. And at this point in my career, just like
this
you said,
point in your life,
just like you said,
fuck it,
man. I'm not doing it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to make it myself. And that's what I did. I got one for you.
The finger up.
Look at this.
Yeah, dude.
There it is. Can you see that?
Put that right here.
Yeah.
Commando place.
And you know what's good because look on the second page. There's a small person with a giant dildo. And she's getting ready to bang a sumo warrior who's doing cocaine. So it can only get better from here, folks.
Wow, this is really well done, though. It really is, man.
Thank you. And I got to thank my artist, Shin Momochu, who his actual name is Momochu, but his real name is Carl Contreras.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, that's for you. And there's a dedication in there for you.
Thank you.
But my artist, it's an interesting story. He's an amazing artist, but what he does for commissions is he draws really sexy stuff for commission.
I saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a pretty woman situation where I really want this thing to be super successful and get him out of that, you know, business a little bit,
right,
and get into the mainstream because I know that I want to make 5 more of these comic books. There's 5 more to go, and then I got another series I want to do after it, and I really want to employ him the whole time. So I got a Kickstarter campaign going. So if you guys go to Kickstarter and look up my name, Gary Adler, or Commando Place, you'll get right to the Kickstarter page.
GaryAdler. Gary Adler.
Could you imagine if it went like that?
That'd be
you
great.
You could design it.
Yeah,
you could design something to do that.
It's funny. You and I have been in the promo business for so long, you know, and promoting your own thing as a very, your own brand is can be complicated and difficult and tough to make decisions, you know, really hard to make decisions. So, you know, I'm really proud that I was able to do this book and, I'm hoping people can help me make 5 more of them. So go to Commando Place on Instagram. You'll see a lot of the cool frames from the book. And go to Amazon. The book's available on Amazon.com in book format and in digital format if you only want to spend like $3.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, help me out, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate all your support. And your fans are super awesome. So thank
they're
you.
The best.
Yeah,
they're sure. The best. And if they're comic book fans, I know they'll go get this. So let's start talking about it. We got all that out of the way.
Right.
A million times, thank you for all your help on this.
You don't have to thank me at all.
You left your family and everything.
No, so. It was nice leaving it. I got 2 grown-up boys, you know. Yeah. And
you got great kids.
They're great kids, but out of the house, they're great to other people, you know.
Yeah.
But you know how it is,
on
man.
On quarantine, too. I mean, I can't imagine. What is it, 19 and 17?
20 and 17.
20 and
yeah.
17.
But I got to say, though, after about 3 weeks, and my boys notoriously do not get along. You know, they're completely opposite kids. But after about 3 or 4 weeks, everyone was so tired. You know,
Yeah,
like,
who cares?
No, you give a shit. I'll be in my room. When tell me when dinner is.
So tell me what it was like for you getting older, growing up. Like, they have such a different life than you did.
Yeah. I mean, it was about this time, I think my dad kind of just stopped talking. You know, like about this time in
like
his life.
Silent.
Yeah, where he was just like, fuck it, I've said enough. And if people need to talk to me, they'll come.
There is a real art to not giving a fuck anymore. There's an art to like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is.
But he was, you know, he was good. Like if I ever had an issue with him or needed to ask a question or something about the family, always had a lot of information. He just wasn't forthcoming with it. Like, hey, did you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. He just wasn't that guy.
That's silent.
Yeah.
That's my brother. He's like that. I'm like, hey, man, how you guys doing? Everybody good? Yeah.
That's it.
But then that's it. Yeah. I'm like,
but you could draw it out of him. Probably.
Well, I can. You have to. But and he will. Like, well, how are the kids doing? Yeah. Tate's doing all right in Little League.
That's it. No unassisted like, triple plays. Nothing.
No highlights. No, what's the record? You know, none of that shit.
Nothing. Yeah. He's doing good at
Maddie's,
shortstop.
Maddie's in, she's in a recital.
I've and never met time, your brother, dude. Know, you guys crazy. Seem super opposite. Yeah,
we are. And then he goes, almost cried. And I said, you know what? Next time, let yourself. You know, go ahead. Push the boundaries.
Go for it, man. Oh, man. Yeah, so, my kids don't get on. But I'm super happy because in December, our family threw a huge surprise party for my dad, who's 90.
Oh, wow.
And my stepmom, who's 70. And they've been
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th. And this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Together for 40 years, you know,
okay.
And start, you can do the math. It's
yeah,
50 fine.
And 30.
thank goodness we did that with all the family and friends in this one venue and great celebration. And, we had the band that was played their wedding, came back and played for them. And
they're all still alive.
Everyone's still
That's
alive.
That's a miracle.
Crazy, right? But because we couldn't do it now. Like, I don't even know when I'm going to see my dad next. You know, yeah. Like, he lives in Miami in a condo. Like, what am I flying there? It's just weird right now. So I'm just super thankful that the family could get together that time in December. You know, that was cool.
So what was where your parents got divorced, though, right?
Yeah, my parents, when I was 11, my parents got divorced. And immediately, I don't think it affected me that much. Affected my older brother a lot.
Why more him?
I think he's just older, and it kind of hit him a little harder. Mm-hmm. Like the reality of separation and you know, the uncertainty of it all.
But you're all in Florida at the time?
We were, and then my mom met a guy, and we moved to Colorado.
So now why does mom get to take the kids? Or was dad cool with it?
You know, I doubt he was cool with it. I really do. And in fact, I'm sure he wasn't cool with it, but I don't think there was much he could do about it at the time, you know, just based on the laws back then
and
stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to say back then. Plus, it's Florida. They probably could do whatever the fuck you want.
So we moved to Colorado with this guy that my mom was dating. His son became a very famous actor. And he and I palled around a little bit together in Colorado. He was this huge dude. At 15, he was like 6'4", 250, big fella.
Damn, he was that big then?
Yeah, he was
Holy
huge.
Holy shit.
And I was just a little shit, you know, and 11 years old, 12 years old. And he was a magician at the time. I was his magician's assistant, you know.
Aww.
And you know who I'm talking about. I don't know if I could say it or not say it. But it was, it's Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah. You know who that is?
Yeah.
So yeah, his dad and my mom hooked up in the theater in Miami. He was a director. And then we all moved to Colorado. And
so you were stepbrothers for a minute.
Yeah, we were sort of stepbrothers.
Sort of.
Yeah, but we got in a lot of trouble together. Like, there was one time when we were walking down, we lived on Rainbow Hill Road. If anyone's from Colorado, they know this street. It's very famous. It looks over El Rancho Restaurant. And we were walking down the street.
Wait, is El Rancho the restaurant that South Park does with the guys or cliff diving and all that? And then it's like all kinds of crazy shit in Colorado.
Maybe.
Or like they're diving off the thing and they got the bands everywhere.
It's El Rancho restaurants off of the I-70, and our backyard looked right at the El Rancho restaurant. I don't remember there being cliff diving or anything.
Somebody out there will know what that restaurant is.
You know, South Park is a cartoon. So
that fucking restaurant's real.
So anyway, we walked down the street.
So is Commando Place.
Oh, this is absolutely. We were walking down the street and we see over the side of the cliff, we see this garbage bag, right? Flies and stuff. We're like, oh, let's go see what's in that garbage bag. So we go in there.
How old are you?
I'm probably 12.
And you're with
Vincent too?
He's
probably 16. Okay. Yeah, it's just the two of us. And so we go down and we see it's a German Shepherd. It's dead. It's in the garbage bag. So we go home and call the cops. And then we go back and hide up in the woods and wait and just watch the whole scene go down.
What do you tell them is in the bag?
We said, we don't know what's in the bag.
Yeah,
we're not sure. We saw flies and blah, blah, blah. And then it was back then where you didn't have to wait for the cops. You know, we just perched ourselves above the tree line and was watched and watched them sweat it out hardcore, man. And the dude came down there and he was like, it's just a dog. It's just a dog. And then the next guy, just a dog. You know, and we were like,
get him back out there.
Oh, man. We had a lot of fun. He's a good guy. You know, I never really followed up with him after we moved back to Miami.
I was going to say, you've never reached out or anything.
I wrote a screenplay once with him in mind as the villain, and I reached out to his agent.
He'd look great on this.
He would be awesome.
He'd
be
great in the Commando, plays Vincent D'Onofrio.
You could do a VO for that, Vincent D'Onofrio. Come on, man. Anyway, so then we moved back to Miami, and then we were apartment kids for a while. Yeah, that was interesting. That was cool.
You had never been. Is that the first time you've been in an apartment?
Me too.
Yeah. I remember going from a house to an apartment, like, what's this? We don't have a yard. We don't have any place to go. We got to, like, outside is, as soon as you step outside, you're off your property.
Yeah.
You know, that was new to me.
And we were just fucking nuts in there too, because it was just my mom. She had no control over us. We were doing drugs and fucking around and skateboarding.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God.
What age did you start?
I started smoking weed in Colorado when I was 14.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. Ninth grade. All right.
And in Colorado, we had jocks, we had hippies, and we had cowboys, which was a new thing for me. Coming from Miami, I was like this hippie kid with long hair. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first day of school at Bergen Elementary School, it was like 3 feet of snow outside, and they're like, all right, recess. And I'm from Miami.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I was like, all right, we're going to draw. You know, I can do some blocks. And we went outside and played football in the snow, and I just got my ass kicked, dude. I was like, God damn, these kids are hardcore, man. And then the fucking cowboys, who literally had giant cowboy belts on, and they rode in rodeos and all kinds of crazy shit. That was a whole nother factor that I just, it was just out of my element, man. You know, but that's when I started smoking weed and getting in with the jocks and hippies, you know. Seemed to be the same crowd sometimes.
And then you went back to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And what age are you there? You
said 13.
About 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? That's high school years there?
Yeah, I started wrestling junior high school. I know you were a wrestler too. Yeah.
I love wrestling.
Yeah, me too. I think it taught me a lot about life.
Good?
I was good. And I got a funny story. When I was in my senior year of high school wrestling, I didn't cut any weight. For the first time in my life.
I never did that. I was never able to just not cut weight. Yet.
Yeah, I was just, I always wrestled the smallest weight class. But and when I was a senior, I wrestled 122, right? That was my natural weight.
Wow.
Yeah. So, which is like so light, you know. So we changed districts to District 15 from District 16. And there was a couple good teams in there. And at district finals, our entire team made the finals.
Damn, every weight class.
Every single weight class. Mm-hmm. And I remember almost getting stuck looking up at the lights and looking over at my coach, and he's like, dude, you don't want to be the one. You know? So I reversed it, you know, did the bridge, stuck them, and I was like, yeah, I'm in. But at night, you know, when the finals came around, the lights went out, you know, the
bell light comes down.
Yeah, the light comes down, and our whole team was on one side of the mat, and all the other teams were on the other side. And that was the front page of the paper the next day. So that was kind of a cool moment, you know, sports moment for me. And I lost my match pretty good.
But did you?
That's all right.
I got wiped up a lot. Not a lot. But whenever I gave up weight to a guy who had muscle, if I was giving up 10 pounds to a kid that was fat, I had him.
Uh-huh.
But if that shit was cock diesel, I was like, you ain't going to pin me, but you're going to run my face all over this goddamn mat, and I'm going to get head burned all over.
Dude, man. There's a lot of stories about wrestling and cutting weight, and I hope they don't. I don't know if they do that anymore, but people were taking X-lax and all kinds of crazy shit like that. I never did that myself, but I don't know. I ran off the mat one day, just shit in my pants. You know, right after the match was over, I just ran. You know?
It probably stunts our growth to an extent, like cutting weight and all that shit that we would do at that age. Yeah,
it clearly stunted.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe you're 122, dude.
Yeah, I'm like 175 now.
I'm 5'10". My brothers are both over 6 feet, and I wonder if part of that was wrestling.
Wait, your twin brother?
Yeah, he's like 6'2".
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you could have. But you didn't. You said you didn't cut weight, so.
No, I said I never was able to not cut weight. I always was cutting.
So did you ever have that guy who had to gain weight to be a heavyweight?
Yeah, we did.
He was eating bananas and drinking milk, right?
It was only one time I ever got to do. This was the best ever. I didn't have to. I was 155, and the coach is like, we don't have, or I think it was a 65-pounder was not, he got sick or whatever. He's like, I want you to bump up to 65. I'm like, I can't, like, if it's a fat guy, I got it. If it's muscle, you know, I won't get pinned, but we're losing that, you know? And, I will never forget everybody. Remember how people were starving and they just wanted to weigh in. I went up on that scale in my singlet, my whole sweatpants, sweat jacket. I had my headgear hanging from the side, and I was eating a cup of pudding, and that thing didn't even come up. And I was like, oh, shit.
Was there a minimum weight?
No, you could be 100 pounds wrestling 165. As long as you had that spot filled, that's fine.
My whole thing was showing up to weigh in my skivvies and my glasses, you know, with the little like thing that attached in the back and everything, just looking like a full fish. That was my move, fish, you know. Yeah.
This one's still, well, I'll never forget this. These guys that were all in high school that will never, I don't know why, this will be probably, I'll probably forget my kids' names at some point with Alzheimer's and remember this shit, but we called this dude Mega Dick. Because he had a Megadeth t-shirt on, and his weight was, it was going teetering like this, and they're like, take your t-shirt off. And instead of taking the t-shirt off, he had like a gold chain on, and he just snapped it off his neck and threw it on the floor. And it did it. We're like, whatever, this fucking clown. Old Mega Dick over here. Get the fuck off the scale. So look, I want to ask you about a story because I want to talk about what happened to Beck.
Okay.
Can we talk about
that? Yeah, sure. Like, we can talk about
it. I mean, walk through it because I know it, but I don't know it. And it gets fucking crazy and intense. So Beck is your son.
He's my youngest 17. Son. He's 17. He had a really good amateur surfing career. He was moving into the sort of pro ranks until COVID hit. And there's just no professional surfing anymore right now. So He's teaching surfing up in Malibu, which is really cool for the time being. I guess when he was, I think he was 12 years old. Maybe a little younger, 11. We went down to Baja with another couple families. Northern Baja, like we got a house at Las Gaviotas. I don't know if you've ever been down there. But,
not there,
but. Yeah, it was cool. We had some good surfing days, and then the older kids wanted to go to the ATV place, which was about 2 miles south, and rent ATVs. And then the two younger boys, Beck and his friend Willie, were like, "Dad, you know, we really want to go, blah, 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 blah." And they just chewing my ear off about it, you know. And my son is super stubborn, which does make him a really good competitor at times. And so I was just like, fuck it. Okay, go. You know, so he.
But you don't go with.
No, I went with him.
Oh, you did.
And I brought the camera. So everyone's got their ATVs and off they go. And I start filming.
How many people total?
Probably 6 kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're the only adult?
I am the only adult there. The other dad stayed.
Okay.
I believe he stayed back. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. But he was a huge help. I just can't remember if he was at the ATV park. So I'm filming the kids and they're all having a good time. And then I see my older son, West, coming right at me, like flying. And I'm like, oh, cool. He's going to do a little donut or something, blah, blah, blah. And then I see just terror on his face. And he's just like, Dad, Beck went over a cliff. Beck went over a cliff, full speed, like 20-foot cliff. And I'm like, holy fuck. He's fucked up. He's fucked up. And I know I'm going to start crying now. So, because I'm reliving it. But so all of a sudden, I see Beck screaming up.
On his ATV.
There's no seat. You know, things are flapping around and he's just bawling, but coming full speed, bawling, spit flying out of his mouth, crying at the top of his lungs. And I'm like, all right, at least he's fucking alive. So I run over there and I'm like, what's up? What's up? He's like, my leg. So I go over to the other side of the ATV and I look down and I just see his bone, you know.
Oh, like
his. From his knee to his foot is just splayed open.
Like butterflied open?
Just butterflied open.
All down the shin?
Yeah, just if this is this his...
Yeah.
It would just be from here to here.
God.
And it just... And I see the bone and, you know, and I'm like, oh my God.
He's just gushing.
So I pick him up. I put him in the back of my truck. And... At that point, I'm just sort of letting other people do the ambulance stuff and all that. The guy who owns the place called the ambulance, is on his way. And I'm just trying to talk to my son like this, just going, he's like, hey, am I going to lose my leg? Bubba, you know, this kid was, he had the trajectory. He was, you know, sponsored by Hurley and a ton of other people. And, you know, I'm sure that was going through his head. And I said, you're not going to lose your leg. You're going to be okay. And then I just fainted. You know,
you did.
I looked back at my older son and I said, I'll be back in a minute.
And you dropped. That's I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I just hit the deck.
That'd be scary for the kids to see too. Like, oh, shit.
But yeah, I have to understand.
How long were you out?
Just about 30 seconds. Maybe. Yeah. It was a while. Yeah.
30 seconds is a long time.
And then,
in a panic situation.
But I remember like going, I'm back, you know?
Hey, you were only gone for half a minute, Dad. Hey, I'm back quicker enough.
Oh, man.
I didn't know you fainted.
So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Not the first time I fainted. I got another good fainting story. Then I remember the other dad showing up. Because they must have called him. And we got the ambulance on the way. So I said, Beck, I wrapped my belt around his thigh or something like that. Did something. Then the ambulance came. And we took him to Rosarita Hospital. Just to clean it.
I've been there. I've been to Rosarita.
Clean it up. Yeah. Well, you've seen the cats walking around there, right? I got to say... I walk in, there's a dude eating a sandwich, okay?
At the hospital?
Yeah. And I'm like, where's the doctor? And he puts the sandwich down and he goes, I'm the doctor.
Nah.
And I'm like, no, seriously. So,
was he really the
doctor? Yeah, he was the doctor. But let me say something, because the guy did a tremendous job. He cleaned out my son's wound. He wrapped it real good. And then he called the other ambulance.
All right, so wait, that's what I want to go back to. So the ambulance that picks up you guys, is this Like, is it state of the art? Like, what are we talking about?
Well, yeah, the ambulance certainly is state of the art. And
but so are they cleaning them out? And like, are they prepping them in the ambulance?
No,
in
the way,
or they're just running them.
No, they just ran them.
They're not doing any. Okay, that's why I was wondering if there was equipment in there where they could start helping.
They
were
making sure that he was conscious and everything.
Okay,
so and he was, you know. But then they cleaned out the wound real good and wrapped it up. I think we were there for maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I paid the ambulance. I paid the hospital cash. Mm-hmm. Then another ambulance came that could take us to the border where a U.S. ambulance would come and pick us up.
So why was that? Well, they wouldn't do surgery there or?
Well, I didn't want them to.
Okay.
I just needed to get them to the States, you know. So we're in the ambulance. And the guy gets in the wrong fucking lane to the border.
Yeah.
So 45 minutes, people are trying to sell me churros and shit, bro. And my son's bleeding out in the back, man.
Oh, my God.
Every now and then, I'm like, you okay? Like, you want a churro? He's like, nah, I'm good. And
you want a Last Supper, Black?
Plastic monkey, surfing monkey. You need a blanket?
I've been through that border check.
So I'm fucking.
I almost bought a Last Supper plaque.
Flipping out. And at that point is when
So they can't turn their lights on and get people to.
We were going in the fast lane. But what they've done is they've sold that fast lane now to fast pass people. So you're just in line with everybody else. But he got an actual wrong line, not even in the fast pass lane. So at that point, I called my wife, who's in LA, and I'm like, look, you got to meet us down here in San Diego. Just get in your car. And she's like, what happened? I said, there's been an accident. It wasn't surfing. Just come, you know. And I called the hospital just over the border. I don't want to say the name of it, but the lady at the front desk was so fucking cool. And she goes, you don't want to come here. She goes,
really?
Go to Rady's Children's Hospital, which is another 10 minutes. Just take him there. And I was like, okay, so when we got there, first of all, fuck, we got to the border and then we transfer in the ambulance and I'm like, let's go. And they're like, no, we got to unwrap and see if you got drugs in this wound. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? The kids got to get sewn up. It's bad. I said, it's really bad. And they're like, how bad? I'm like, really bad. So they're like, we still have to do it. It's protocol. So they unwrapped him and, you know, made sure there wasn't drugs in the wound. How fucking drastic is that?
Yeah. But I bet you they've seen everything.
I'm sure they have, man. So they were cool. They wrapped it back up. We went to Rady's Children's Hospital and we got into the operating room right away. And the nurses were so cool. They already had Beck's surfing edit on an iPad. As soon as they rolled him in, they're like, is this you?
And
and he goes, yeah, that's me. And they're like, wow, what? Tell me about that move. Meanwhile,
keeping him off.
Yeah, and the doctors are like, you got 1 second if you want to take a snap of this wound before we heal it up. So I walked in there and went snap, and that's the picture I sent you.
Yeah, that thing is gnarly. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Omax Cryo Freeze. Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect your whole life. Many of you probably have some type of pain that's prevented you from relaxing and sleeping or stopped you from exercising. Perhaps it's been ongoing for a few weeks now and hasn't improved with any of the treatments you've tried. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple action pain relief roll-on is specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. And the best part is this 100% natural CBD powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, which is much longer than the over-the-counter products. I've been telling you guys for months now about that shoulder pain I had. If you really watch these podcasts hard, you don't have to. I couldn't lean on my elbow. I would get numbness shooting all through my elbow. I would keep getting uncomfortable with it. And I'm telling you, that Omax Cryo Freeze worked. Omax Health is offering my listeners, you ready? 20% off a full body Cryo Freeze CBD pain relief roll-on plus free shipping. This discount also applies toward any product site-wide. So just go to omaxhealth.com today. Enter code HONEYDEW. That's O-M-A-X. cryohealth.com and enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide. Let's tell you about our next sponsor, HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. HelloFresh's recipes are so delicious. They offer so many recipes to choose from each week to help you break out of your recipe rut. And there's something for everyone. They've got low calorie, they got vegetarian, they have these family friendly recipes every week, which is AKA picky eaters. HelloFresh offers fresh, high quality ingredients every week for a super flavorful experience. Over 90% of the ingredients are sourced directly from growers to ensure the freshest recipes are delivered to your door. Save time and stress effortlessly. HelloFresh offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. Here's what you got to do. Go to HelloFresh.com/HoneyDew80, all right, and use code HoneyDew80 to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box. All right. Additional restrictions do apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for details. That's HelloFresh.com/HoneyDew80. Now let's get back to the dew.
Yeah. I thought I ruined my son's life, you know, like making that decision. Worst decision I ever made in my life. But like,
which one? You mean
letting him go? Letting him go to the, you know, like, and I saw the ATV was too big for him, you know, and so was the helmet. And, you know, it's just like, fuck, man.
Yeah, all that parent gut stuff.
And then, you know, there should have been marked with tires, you know, this cliff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. Everything's dunes. So you just think, oh, I'll just go over this dune. And he gunned it and fucking. Boom, just free fell.
So what happened? Was anything broken? Was it a...
He broke his back.
His back? Mm-hmm. That one, you didn't even know that at that point, right?
Yeah, after we got to the hospital, ooh, they did an MRI.
I don't remember that.
So he broke a
vertebrae?
A couple of vertebrae in his back. And then he had... how many stitches, dude? I don't know, 60 or something.
Was it stitches or staples that closed 60. That leg up?
There was stitches and then staples.
Damn! Yeah.
And I thought, like, literally, they said, you know, we may have to do, like, all this graft and all this stuff if it's not taking. And so my wife and I were agonizing, you know, in the waiting room, like, fuck, I just fucked my kid's life up, you know? So the doctor came out and said we were able to, you know, do it without any grafts or anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then it was a big, tough recovery time for him. That was a hard time for him, being in a wheelchair and all that.
Yeah, because he can't do anything. He's active as hell.
It took him 5 months to get back in the water, I think.
Damn. And how's it now?
He's good now. He's got a huge scar. And I'm sure he lost some strength out of that calf, you know?
What took longer to heal, the leg or his back? I feel like your back was...
I think the leg took longer to heal, yeah. Yeah. Just in a sense that you don't want to get infected if going back in the water. He did a shit ton of rehab. Thank you, Sophia Costa, by the way, who is PT.
I didn't know you passed out.
Yeah, man.
You said you had another one. You passed
out. Oh, yeah. Well, that was the first time I ever got a BJ.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, for sure.
You passed out?
It wasn't at the time. It was after. Okay. So... It was the first time. I guess I could say who it was. So when we came back.
No, don't say names.
I'm not going to say who it was. Okay, when we came back from Miami, my mom, you know, my mom had this way of, you know, meeting guys and moving into their house with us. So we moved into this dude's house in Coconut Grove, and he had a really cool family. One of the daughters, you know, hooked up with her, and I just remember, like, I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know, getting that first time. Like, I think I was 15, you know, 16. And then I got up to piss, and in the middle of my piss, I hit the porcelain so fucking hard, dude. I just went boom, bounced off.
How long were you out for that one?
It's never happened again, man. So that must have been the best blowjob of my life.
It's all downhill from that. Passed out.
Yeah, man.
Did she know it? Did she come in?
Like, I don't think she knew. Like, what's that bump on your lip? Like, what?
You should have fucking... She probably would have been like, oh my God.
She knows now.
I guess so.
Anyway. Man, you and I got fired together. How about that?
We got fired twice together.
Yeah, the same day.
Same day, yeah. We did. We won't say where, but we were working together. And
it rhymes with Disney.
On a project, yeah. On a project that I remember. You got called first.
Yeah, we were in the edit bay.
And I was like, all right, I'll save you some pizza.
Uh-huh.
And then I got called. I was like, let me take this pizza.
Oh, man. I remember lighting a cigar and being escorted off the lot.
Yeah, they were like, do you need a box for your things? I'm like, no, I don't keep anything here. I'm just going to grab my bag.
And our office is right next door.
You introduced me to the Ricky Gervais office in that building.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another thing in that building, too. And I've never tried this ever again, but do you remember that time we were sitting at the commissary, like outside? It was almost the end of the day, and you had some cigars.
Yeah.
But you're like, my brother sent these up with some rum.
Oh, yeah.
But they broke. And the cigars got rum soaked, but now they're dried out. And we had to go back. We had like an hour or two of work left. And I smoked maybe a quarter of that cigar. And let me tell you, I was fucked.
Really?
I was fucked up more than I've ever been like on weed or anything. I was like, God, you can smoke.
There you have
rum.
It, kids. Soak your cigars in rum, right?
Cuban cigars accidentally soaked in rum, and we smoked them, and it fucked me up.
I thought it was tequila. Thinking back on it, because I remember he sent me. Yeah, whatever it was.
It fucked me up.
Yeah, that was the cigar I lit on my way out the door.
That's a double win right there.
That was a crazy place too, man. That whole prospect lot. That's where we were on the prospect lot in Los Feliz. Yeah, man. Well,
now look,
man. Here we are. Now, you know, I'm super thankful that I have a job. You know, and I'm really thankful that, you know, you get to continue doing this thing. I hope it's making you some money, you know, because I know you're not on the road anymore.
Not at all. You know? Nobody is.
Yeah, I turn on the Facebook every now and then, and you know, some of the comedians are just so, it just seems like desperate times right now, and I feel bad for a lot of my friends out there, you know. But listen, hey, hopefully things will turn around and people can get back on stage and, you know.
Look, man, I haven't panicked. It's all good. It's going to be whatever the fuck it is. When comedy does come back, it'll be awesome when it does come back. But it's not going to be. I mean, Joey Diaz just hit me up. It's 2021 and Philly is canceled. The shows are canceled till 2020 till 2021, February, I think it is.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
New Year's parade already gone. Like, it's until there's probably a vaccine, you're not going to see the Comedy Store packed out like it was. And, you know, all these venues packed out, concerts, arenas, you know, football stadiums, all that shit. But I want to talk about, you got some more stories here. I don't know what first time, second time is.
First time, second time? Oh, the second time I got laid. I think I told this story on your other podcast.
Crab Feast.
Yeah, on the Crab Feast. And but yeah, the second time I got laid, the girl who I slept with the first time was the same blowjob girl.
Okay.
And then she must have
recognized. So you lost your virginity to the girl that made you pass? I would too after that.
And it was amazing. And I guess she recommended me to one of her friends or something.
That's nice.
So she came over, but she had a full like back brace on that was screwed into her temple.
The halo, dude.
Yeah. So, but she was super.
My friend Rebecca had one of those because she broke her neck.
Yeah. So I guess she was just ready to get laid after a lot of rehab or something.
But it was still on?
It was still on. But I took it. I helped her take it off.
They called her RoboCop.
I helped her take it off, I remember.
Nuh-uh.
And I had to be super gentle, yeah, with her. But it was, you know.
That's how you know how horny you are when you're a kid. Because as a grown adult, you'd be like, let's just wait till that's
off. I was like, oh, yeah.
I'll work around that.
That seems fine. Just give me a 360.
That poor girl must have been so horny, too, to take that whole thing off. It's dangerous to take that off.
Just hand me an Allen wrench. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's go as slow as possible.
Yeah, that was kind of nuts, man. I don't know. Shit happened to me, you know. That was a weird one, dude. But that was an introduction to sex, like the first two times. One faint, one thing. I didn't know what was coming.
I mean, you must be into some freaky fucking shit now to get all faint and RoboCop.
I've been married 21 years, you know, mm-hmm. to my lovely wife, Emma. And,
great lady.
Thank you. Dude, she's in your business.
Always up my ass. Always. Everything's always an insult with a smile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my whole life.
Yeah.
But, our first date, we were talking about anal sex, okay? Like, I've never done it. I never had it. I've never done it to me or to somebody. And I think we were chatting about it, and I'm like, oh, I like this girl. She's talking about anal sex. But her proposition to me was, I will if you will. In other words, if you go buy a fucking dildo and
I'll
shove it up your ass, you can do that to me. And so I just never took her up on it. It's been 21 years.
The offer still on
the
table.
She did a good thing. She was like, here's the deal. But it's just never interested me. Like weird kinky sex. Never interested me at all. I don't know. I'm just not down with that.
When it comes to dating, like what's the weirdest date or breakup or anything like that you've ever had?
It was probably the head trauma. I'm not sure I could beat that, dude. I mean, you know,
the head trauma.
I'm like, what's on my knee? She's like, that's one of my bolts, you know. Yeah, man, I don't know.
The head trauma.
If I think of something, I'll throw it in there. But,
yeah, would you?
That one was pretty gnarly, dude. Dude, I'll never forget walking in and I had to make that decision. Like, you know, am I going to get laid or do I have to deal with this shit? And it wasn't even a second.
She was cute though, huh?
Super cute.
But she wanted to have sex with that thing on.
She wanted to have it with it off, which really scared me, you know. But
and then you had to help her put it back on.
And she had the little divots, you know.
Rebecca still got the scars where it bolts into your skull.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Fuck, dude, you put it back on.
Put it back on and everything.
Most dudes won't fucking wear a condom.
No, I just left her writhing on the bathroom floor. Look what I got. Put it on my head like
RoboCop.
Oh my God, man. Yeah, I wonder.
Oh God.
That's crazy. But I did get I got a phone call, you know, I got the apology phone call like 20 years later from you know, one of the women I had sex with. You know, that was a little weird.
What do you mean? The
you know, the Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah. I just talked about that on an episode. I've gotten them from, I've gotten them from AA. I've gotten them from sex addiction. I've gotten them from food addiction.
Wow.
I've gotten them from coke addiction.
Well, you never even done blow. How are you involved in that?
They are emailing me and saying, hey, I had a problem when I was with you. I'm sorry I treated you like shit. Like, it's the apology email.
Wow.
And that was what they were dealing
with. And email's okay. I got the phone call.
I got text. Not email, but I got text.
Yeah, that was a crazy phone call. But, you know, I was like, it's cool.
That's what I said. I was like, yeah, well, I knew. I mean, you did cocaine in front of me. Yes. Yeah. I tried to tell you I had a problem. I remember that.
Man, growing up in Miami in the 79, 80, 81.
What's that like?
So much cocaine, you know. And one of my best friends, I had three really good friends, and they were all second generation Cubans. Their parents came over in 59 and they were born in 63, same time I was. And they were just my boys growing up. And one of them's dad ran the Cuban mafia from the Dade County jail. They had him in there on tax evasion, but he was still running the show, man. And we would go to this guy's house on a Friday night after school, and his mom would make us a big steak in a Cuban pan, and it was so delicious. And then we'd go in the back where his brothers were, and the Uzis and the giant pile of cocaine on the table.
You would see this?
We would get a Ziploc bag with our hand and just go like that.
And how old are you?
16, 17, God 18, damn. Yeah. That's how it was down there, man. It was nuts. And so, we'd go out for the night.
And then would you sell it, or was that just for you guys to go have fun?
No, that was just for us to go fucking around with,
Holy
you know?
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That was crazy times, man. Fucking, and then, you know, Square Grouper would float up on shore, you know, in my high school, in Key Biscayne. It would be, you know, the cigarette boats were running all the drugs, and then when they got busted, they'd toss them over. And so every now and then, you know, Jimmy would find a Square Grouper, and it would go around the school.
What is that?
That's what we called a bale of weed, you know. That was
weed.
Yeah.
Oh, so that not flow,
but the albino grouper was the cocaine. And so,
seen cocaine cowboys where they would literally just drop it on the beaches and you could go fucking grab it.
Yeah, it was weird like that. And there were so many murders like when I was growing up, you know, like people were just getting capped left and right in Miami, just drug deals gone bad.
And all cocaine related.
That's just what I grew up with. And in fact, it's a big influence in my comic book, you know. The main character, Kony Shiki, he has a drug problem in real life. Can I tell a little bit about the comic book?
Of course.
All right. So basically what this world is these superheroes, you don't have to do all that. They toggle between their game avatars. These guys are the most popular game avatars in the world. And they're, you know, and but when the game turns off, you know, where the fuck do they go? And so that's when, you know, the story came out that, oh, well, they just go to a 4-bedroom house in San Fernando Valley and try and live their life like normal people. But every now and then they get zapped back into their game because their player is ready to play.
Whenever that's ready. Right. Yeah.
And some people sort of go, oh, that doesn't make any sense. But I kind of just, I explain it like this. If you have a dog and a doggy door, okay, in our world, in our vocabulary, there's inside and there's outside. But that dog doesn't put that together. They just know as soon as they slam through that door, it's like a miracle. Yeah, you know, right, like something.
I can piss and shit out here.
This is crazy. Yeah. So that's kind of how I describe it, you know, and these guys are toggling back and forth, and there's a villain who shows his face, and he's going to be a through line through the whole piece. And you know, I hope people like it. I hope it resonates with some of the gaming crowd and some of the superhero crowd. You know, I'm a huge fan of like Doom Patrol and The Boys and all that stuff. And this is kind of in that same genre. Mm-hmm. So if you like that kind of cool shit, check out the comic book. There you go. You can tell I've been in TV for a while. Huh?
I want to hear this James Beach story.
Oh, James Beach. So James Beach.
It's a great bar. Or was.
Was a great bar. Yeah. It's still open, but not now, of course. But, my boy, John Henry Binder, who now owns Venice Duck Brewery. So, you know.
Okay. I had that beer at James Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was his, right?
Yeah. And you probably were served by him.
Yes.
And, so he was there for 25 years and he was going to wrap it up because he started this brewery company and it was like going to be his last week. And I have partied in James Beach a lot of times and gotten a little nuts in there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go early. I'm going to, you know, have a few drinks with John Henry before it gets all nuts on a Wednesday, not a Saturday, as last night on a Wednesday. So I walk in, it's pretty much empty, and I take my normal seat on the corner there. And, I start drinking, you know, and having a good time, and we're shooting this shit. And this dude pulls up next to me. And he goes, you want to do a line? And I'm like, and he holds up the little baggie. And then like about 10 minutes later, dude, this guy leans over just like this in my ear. I just want to do a line of blow off your cock. Like right in my ear.
Oh, touching your ear.
And I was like, check, please, John Henry. give me the check. So he gives me the check, and I whisper in John Henry's ear. I'm like, these are the last words I heard at your bar. And I told it to him, and he fell out, and I walked out the door. That was the last time I've been there. Fucking James Beach, man. I used to have all my parties, big Christmas parties at the Canal Club and James Beach, yeah. You know, when I owned Four Eyed Films.
Weren't they across from each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Owned by the same people.
Oh, they were. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nuts, man. But that place, you know, you're there early, and then you just see it turn ugly, bro. And the lion faces come in, and it just yeah, gets nuts, dude.
That's the truth. It's all like a lion's.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so you and I have known each other for a long time.
A long time.
And you've been around my wife.
A lot. Always insults me with a smile. It's a real British fuck you, I feel like. Your wife is a Brit, and it's always like, Ryan, you know, it's always this pleasant hello. And then there's a compliment that comes for it. You look like you've lost weight. Right. Face looks like shit, though. You know, it's always some follow up like, damn, every fucking time. But I love it. And she loves doing it, obviously.
It's usually about your singledom or something like that, you know, or whatever situation you're currently in. Somehow she knows about it.
Always.
Yeah.
Always has good advice. Yeah. Always offers me a meal.
Yeah.
Always. She's a good person.
There was a time I went to the laundry room to get a shirt out of the basket. Okay. And I've been around laundry my whole life. Okay. So I put the shirt on and it smelled a little unfresh. And sometimes you get those ones in the laundry. You know what I'm saying? They're like, what was that one, balled up or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, got stuck in my fitted sheet.
That's right. So I said, sweetheart, come here, smell this. It smells unfresh to me. And you know what she said? You just don't know what fresh smells like.
that's a wife fucking thing to say.
That's
right,
what
there.
She said, dude. And that stuck with me. So I don't ask.
So you remember that line? You don't know what fresh smells.
Yeah,
like?
You don't know what fresh smells like. That's
Did
what
you
she
ask
told
her,
me.
What is it? What is it to you?
She said it smells great. It's fine. Anyway, but recently,
get on
and
that.
This is kind of an embarrassing story, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Please.
It was about 10. There's another my wife's story. It was about 10 o'clock at night, so I went outside for a nightcap, you know. And I don't think I've ever told anyone this fucking story. So, smoking a joint, and I got a piss. So I piss in my spot in my backyard. You know, men have a spot.
You can see the brown spot.
You can, yeah.
You can see it.
So I'm pissing, smoking a joint, and the cherry of the joint falls and hits the tip of my dick.
Oh, okay? Nah. Dude.
Tip to tip. Okay, swear to God. Swear to God.
Tip to tip.
So I smacked my dick so hard. Bam! And blood starts coming out the tip of my dick. And I have a burn.
Wait,
I think I burst a blood vessel when I smacked the shit out of my dick. Okay. So this
you're
was
pissing
like
blood now?
Just a couple little drops. Because I smacked the shit. I think this has never happened to me. Maybe when I had a catheter or something.
Oh,
like,
it
happened, but so I'm freaking out. And it's like a Thursday night. And my wife and I have sex every Sunday. Okay. That's just a thing we do.
That's your church.
We get together on Sunday and, you know, work about 15 minutes in and we go our separate ways like eagles in the night, you know? So I kind of wait a couple days. The blood thing stops immediately. So I'm like, okay, thank God that's gone. But there is a little mark, you know? And I've only been with my wife for this entire time we've been married. So, it's Saturday, it's still there, and Sunday.
And you have, so you didn't even tell her that happened.
I know. But then before, like, I go, okay, look, I'm going to tell you something. Because if you got a sore on your dick, and you...
and you've been married for 20.
Okay.
Good luck, bro. Okay. I've just been packing my shit up. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you the truth, but I'm going to stay at a hotel tonight.
Okay, so I told her the truth. I figured the truth. Okay. So I said, look, I'm outside. I'm taking a piss. I'm smoking a joint. The fucking cherry fell and hit me in the dick and I have a little burn. And you know what she said to me?
You don't know what fresh smells like.
No. She goes, I can't believe you were fucking taking a piss in the backyard.
That's a good wife. That's a good wife. Didn't even fucking care.
No, she didn't blink about that other part. But she was pissed about the piss.
But she wanted to see it then? That was gnarly, huh? How long did it take to heal?
A couple weeks.
That's a sensitive fucking spot. Yeah, it wasn't to be anything.
Like, I mean, you know how when you get a spider on you or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how I reacted.
Bruce Boom. Lee, yeah.
Damn, stole my punchline, but it's okay. It's your show. That's all right. It's your show. It's your show. It's fine. Anyway, God damn, dude.
That's some shit you would say to me, though. I was ready for it.
That's funny, though. Anyway, so, I
wanted to ask you, you told me a story. Well, you told me something about your dad and camp.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was like the time in the 70s, you know, like,
I think because you're a little, I'm 47. How old are you?
I'm 10 years older.
So you're 50. Damn. Are you really 57?
I am.
You look fucking great, dude. You're almost 60, bro.
I know, right? I'm on the wrong side of 55, as they say.
Fuck, you're alive. You're on the right side of 55. Okay. The wrong side is dead. People talking about it. But
listen, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it looks
good. I got good genes.
You surf, you do a lot.
I do have good genes, though. My dad's 90. You know, he's still
that's a big
amazing.
Part
you know, like there's nothing lost there. You know, he's on point. He can't hear as well, but he's definitely on point, right. And super sharp, you know. And always has been. But when I was 8, all right, he drove me to sleepaway camp. 4 weeks, bro.
4 fucking weeks. Right. By yourself?
No. Let me say this. It's an 8-week camp, okay? My brother was there already. He'd been there for a couple of years since he was 8. But so he was there already the first 4 weeks, and my dad was driving me up for the second 4 weeks of that.
How far away from home is this?
So we lived in Miami, okay? And so the nice Jewish camp was called Camp Coleman, and it's in Florida. And we drove past that camp. And I waved to all my friends.
It's a good Gentile camp. You know, like,
so he drove me to Camp Chattooga in North Carolina, which is where they shot Deliverance.
Is that right?
I am not kidding. On the Chattooga River is where they shot Deliverance. And so now
I don't
listen.
Know that. I always thought it was in West Virginia for some reason.
The camp was awesome. The camp was awesome, but I was 8 years old. So it was a drive. It was a couple days.
4 hours?
No, dude, it was a couple days. Like I think we stopped in Orlando and spent the night, and then we drove the rest of the way.
So here's what I'm getting at is you're taking your kids and you're just leaving them. There's no cell phones or texts.
Oh, no, there's none of that. You don't even talk to him for a few weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just letters back and forth.
Yeah, and it's not like a commute where he can ride up an hour and go see you.
No, I think there's parent day, but I don't know if my parents came. You know, that's a long drive, Ryan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And there were some kids who got the care packages, you know, like SpaghettiOs and Sterno, and we could make SpaghettiOs in the fucking cabin and shit like that. My friend Eddie Friedman always got the good care packages, but didn't get the care packages. But here's my little highlighting the lowlight story about camp. And that first day, we got there in the morning. He dropped me off. We said goodbye. And
you're how old again?
8.
8.
And we went on a 10-mile hike to Dairy Queen. Okay. 5 miles there.
8-year-olds on it.
5 miles there and 5 miles back.
How many kids would you say?
15.
And how many counselors?
2. And I shit
guys
myself.
Or girls?
At 3, bro.
On the way there?
On the way there.
Shit yourself.
So bad. Like just, like I, you know, and I would say probably for 1.5 miles, I was trying my hardest, you know, that moment. Where you just can't.
So what do you do?
So I went into the bathroom when we got to Dairy Queen, and took.
You walked 2 more miles.
Yeah,
shit.
Took,
but hold on, I have a million.
Yes,
is it diarrhea? Is it like running down your legs? Is it a turd?
Yes, there's a little bit running down my leg. And
you know, have you notified anybody?
I have not. I am embarrassed.
Are you in the back of the line?
I know. I'm not 58. Now I was 8. And I just driven 2 days with my dad and got dropped off in a state I've never, you know, like I just learned about in geography, like, you know. So I get into the bathroom at Dairy Queen. I take my underwear off and I throw it in the, you know, in the trash can. I try and clean myself up best I can. And then I never got any ice cream because by the time I was done,
there
it was done.
All right, finish your blizzards. Let's go.
I was like, God damn. Probably shouldn't have been eating ice cream anyway. Let's be honest. So we got back and it was the beginning of the week, of course, because it was that first week, that first day of the 4 weeks. And I put all my clothes in the hamper and everyone had their hampers hanging up at the end of the beds. But the laundry had just been done, you know? So my shitty clothes, like I was the shitty kid.
No,
so I was the shitty kid. I was like, oh, there's the shitty kid, you know,
and they would then, say you'd hear people say that. That's brutal.
But
the shitty kid,
you know, once the laundry got out that first after the end of the week, you know, eventually I, you know, I wasn't a shitty kid anymore. And I did go to that camp like 4 years because,
in a row?
Yeah, because the longer you went, the cooler shit you got to do. You got to go to Six Flags. You got to go down the Chattooga River and camp, you know, and I lost my glasses on that trip in the Chattooga River, in the Deliverance River.
In the Deliverance River.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's my fucking camp story. But did you ever go to camp?
I only went, I was going to tell you, I went to a soccer camp. At Bucknell University in Pennsylvania. It was my brother, my twin brother, and myself. My younger brother was too young at the time. And then another friend of ours, Greg Carfine, it was, we all played soccer with. So the three of us went to this camp and we stayed in the dorms at the college. And there were older kids there and shit.
How old were you?
This was middle school, probably.
So 11, 12,
yeah,
13.
Yeah, in that area.
Okay.
Right before high school. And I was on the red team. My brother was on the, I think, the green team. And Greg was on the blue team. And we'd all played together the whole time. So we really loved playing against each other. You know, uh-huh. So we really talked shit like, yeah, fuck you now. You know what I mean? And my team won the whole championship. But I do remember being embarrassed and clown because back in the day, I wore my socks all the way up. You know what I mean? The three-striped socks, I pulled them up to just under my knees.
Was there still some skin between your socks and the shorts?
Yeah, yeah, there was.
Back then, there was.
Yeah, there was just a knee. It was just, well, because the shorts were shorter back
yeah,
then,
that's
too.
Right.
They weren't, you know, I'm wearing Umbros and shit.
Had the little.
Before they made the longer.
Little V up the side.
Yeah, the little slit. And I remember the older kids who started pushing their socks down were like, oh, wait, nice socks. And I was like,
you have sock.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Kid. How about this trophy, though?
You were the sock kid.
I was the sock kid. You were the shitty kid.
Yeah, I would have traded that moniker any day, bro.
But I just remember, man. And it was that day that I started pushing my socks down. Like, if you just saw me an hour later, my socks were down. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know why.
That's so weird, isn't it?
I don't know why we allow people to affect us. Like, I remember that's such dumb shit. Just the dumbest shit ever. Your socks are high.
But some people go through life and they don't allow that. They don't give a fuck.
I wish.
Like
I
Sean
had more
White,
of that.
You know that kid with the red hair?
Yeah.
Does, the kid has the worst fucking style and clothes, but he put out a clothing line, you know, and everyone bought it, I think.
Well, everyone knocks Adam Sandler for the way he dresses. The dude wear red sweatpants to the Oscars, but right. So what?
And a hockey jersey.
So, yeah, right. So what?
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? Look at him. Yeah. Look what he's doing.
Yeah, you don't like him for his fashion.
I don't look to Adam Sandler that's right. for fashion sense. Yeah.
Yeah, he's
and I
funny.
Think he's comfortable with that.
And he's dressed funny.
He delivers on the
He's comedy. Already making me laugh.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, this guy wore a hockey jersey to the Oscars.
That's right.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly right. Oh, man. So, I do want to say one thing about, you know, I talked about that Beck story a little bit and it just hit me. You should probably have him on to tell that story or at least on Pantheon or whatever.
Patreon.
So sorry, man.
I should start something called Pantheon.
Is that what they say?
So many people say.
Why is that? What is that word?
I have no idea. I'm not intelligent enough to know what Pantheon
is. Yeah, I don't either. I'm sorry. Hey, kids, write in and let Ryan know.
I feel like it's
know.
Some Greek shit. I don't know why. It's some Greek shit.
Oh, yeah, maybe. What was I talking about?
Beck.
Yeah, so we have him on the Patreon and tell that story. But I remember, you know, there was a couple things that, like my other son, West, is older. And, he, you know, he's the one who's like, Dad, you know, I'm fucking Beck. I just remember him being super cool the whole time. And I left him in Mexico, you know.
Yeah. How old was he?
Probably 15 or 16.
Wow.
Yeah. I left him and his friends in Mexico, you know. And
yeah, he does have a very zen demeanor. He's got that Phil Jackson demeanor.
Yeah, he was cool as a cucumber. And thank God. And Beck was too. I mean, he was conscious the whole time. And just being super cool. I mean, I was the one flipping the fuck out, you know?
Well, here he is worrying about losing his leg. And I know you're worried about him dying. Like,
yeah. I don't think he got a look at it, actually, I don't know if he ever did. I don't know if he ever looked down and looked at it, you know? I'm not sure. You have to ask him. I don't know, man. But that was some crazy fucking
That is
bullshit,
crazy
man.
Shit.
But I appreciate you letting me come in here and talking shit.
Listen, first of all, you know I love you. We go back. To late 1900s, I say all the time, and a few shitty jobs together.
Oh man!
Always laughing, always having a good time with you.
We've even fought. I remember fight having blowouts with you.
Yeah, because of that dumb bitch. And I don't mind fucking saying it right here.
Yeah, that's
you know what? Yeah. So. But who hasn't? I mean, any good friend of mine or family, I mean, you have at least one blowout.
For sure.
And then you find out whether you're really friends or not after that.
That's
honestly,
right.
Because some people just go their separate ways like, oh, it wasn't really that thick after all. So.
And also, you come across people in this industry where, you know, most of the time you're not rooting for them. You just aren't, you know, but you're someone, you know, even when we were both coming up, I just respected your comedy and your writing. First of all, and so I just say I'm rooting for this guy. He's a good guy.
Well, I appreciate you, dude. You gave me my first real long stage time at the Boathouse back in the day when we would do that. Well, you would do the monthly show and allow me to be on it
with Mark Dominique.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Mark Dominique,
Jody Pershing, who's no longer here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you remember her?
I remember her. Yeah, she passed.
She passed away about 5 years ago. Yeah.
But all this studio was during the whole lockdown. You came in, we hung this a little crooked. And
yeah,
this.
We put stripes up. We took stripes down. But I'm the most proud of these things behind me.
Yeah, these
behind me and you. They're super
really nice,
fun,
yeah.
Man. And you can order these posters. Am I right?
Yeah, you can if you want a fucking 12x12 of my head. Yeah, you get that.
You can now order these on what's that shit called when you stick those things up?
Fathead,
dude. What a great fathead that thing would make, huh?
Yeah, well, that's originally what I started looking at.
Yeah, fathead, get in touch with Ryan. Let's get him on.
Yeah,
the,
fathead,
on the
what's up? Let's go. Let's get some honeydew fatheads.
I like it. Hey, man.
But thank you for everything. Thank you for all your help. Please promote your book. We had it sitting here like.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
That's
when
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That time when you didn't have as much of this and I had more of this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to do? So, yes, here's the deal. Look, it's not the most socially conscious thing to do right now as an artist to put out some selfish fucking comic book.
But also, I was supposed working on this long before this hit.
Oh my
These
God,
projects dude. Aren't something that you flip oh, overnight.
And I really wanted to march this thing when I was done with it, when it came out in March. But, you know, more important things, you know, have happened in the world. And so I kind of put my little selfishness aside for a while. But fuck, man, I did your show and now's the time to promote it. So
yeah.
We're going to do the Kickstarter campaign. So just go to Kickstarter and search Commando Place and you'll find the Kickstarter program. And I'm not going to make any money on the Kickstarter. All I'm doing is trying to pay my artist and get 5 more books done and then start the next series. That's really what I want to do. So we have a low goal. And if you can chip in a few bucks and be part of it, there's certain things that you get for different donations and stuff like that. That's how Kickstarter works. So yeah, so appreciate any help.
Is it just kickstarter.com and then
search
Commando Place?
That's right. And you'll see the project.
Is there a link anywhere on a website that they could go directly to take them there?
There is. And will you, is there, well, maybe you can just put that in the, I do have like, I think it's, Kickstarter.com/Commando Place.
Send us the link and we'll put it in the YouTube description.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you so much for that.
Of course.
Yeah, and thank you all. I love your fans. You know, you always tell me, you know, not to get involved, but I love doing the Photoshop stuff. I don't know if anyone knows, but I sometimes submit Photoshop shit to you and you put it up and that makes me all proud, you know.
I love all that stuff. Yeah.
Or I'll find some honeydew shit in a store in Japan.
Man, I don't know. I think that I'm not like a lot of the people I meet in this industry in that I don't feel like them. I feel like everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've always been a genuine person.
I am just a regular person. I live in a fucking 2-bedroom, 1-bath apartment with no goddamn central air or heat, with tandem fucking parking, with a lot of crime in my neighborhood. And pay $2,000 a month in fucked up Los Angeles.
Whew.
But this is where my family is. This is where my kids are. So this is where I am. Mm-hmm. And I am so fortunate to have tremendous fans, fantastic people that it makes me feel so good when other comics, well, but when they could go to their shows, are like, man, I had a dozen people there because they heard me on the Honeydew. Mm-hmm. And they were the nicest people. Every comic's like, you have the best fans. Oh my God, I'm getting so much love. Oh my God, this feels great. Thank you. They're coming on here and talking about shit and trauma and then the love that showed to them. And I'm not always tagged in that. You know, someone's like, hey, look at this message someone sent me. I'm like, oh, that's fucking awesome. So I have great fans. I'm very fortunate for it, especially even to be in a time we're in right now where people can't work, that anybody would even want to listen to me. I'll never not be flattered, blown away, surprised. You know, the moment I'm sucking my own dick, then it's a wrap.
Right.
You know,
and by the way,
if I could do that, I would stay in the house all the goddamn time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm fortunate to have good people. And it's just like being a proud parent when your kid comes back from a sleepover and they're like, your kid was so well mannered.
Oh, yeah.
So well. And
you're like, what a shock. Because he's a fucking douchebag in my house.
Right. But you better fucking do that over there.
For sure. Yeah.
And that's what it feels
that's
like.
That's when you know you got a good one.
The Honeydew fans, the Crab Feast fans, the comedy fans, wherever you have found me, thank you all so much. And thank you too, dude. Look at this place.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Look at this fucking place. Yeah. So I'm so excited to be here. And Ash out there, my producers, the shit.
Killing it.
We got a great team working together. We're going to keep putting up some content and, you know, go from there. So thank you for being a big part of it.
My pleasure, dude. I was happy to open Ryan's house of masturbation.
Whenever I can rub one out.
I'm telling you, I knew exactly what you were doing as soon as you showed me this space. I was like all
why
right.
Do you want blackout?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So wait, one more time. Yes, go to Kickstarter, search Commando Place.
That's right. And you can
And we'll have a link in the YouTube description.
Yeah. And on Instagram, Commando Place has a little Instagram account where you can see a lot of the artwork there.
Great.
And you can add to my 400 followers if you want on my personal Instagram. I don't care if you do or don't, frankly. It would be awesome if you followed me. I do put my artwork up there. Yeah. So thank you guys again. And thank you, Ryan.
Of course, man. Thank you, brother.
All right.
As always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.